This is CliffCentral.com. Animal Central on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Animal Central time. I'm Sharon Dale, and yes, today is my last show. I've been doing Animal Central for the last, well, it's just over a year now. I've been having so much fun on this show. I was sitting this morning driving in the car and thinking about all the amazing guests and all the wonderful people that I've had on the show. I mean, in terms of animals, we've had everything. We've had bearded dragons in here. We've had snakes. We've had spiders. No. We've had too many dogs to even mention. I think we've actually had every kind of animal in the show. And in fact, last year this time when I walked in, I just said to one of the producers, Duncan, I said to him, where's the Christmas tree? Because there used to be a Christmas tree in the corner last year. And I remember us talking to a pit bull rescue organization, and one of their pit bulls left us a very nice gift under that Christmas tree, which caused all kinds of chaos in the studio. So it's been such a great ride. You know, we started the show, I was co-hosting, well, initially we took over from Leanne, who did an amazing job, and then I co-hosted with the awesome Jonathan Sinclair, who moved on sort of halfway through this year. And I've had such a great time, and I hope that we've educated you. I hope that you've learned something from this show, because that's the whole point, is education. Because, you know, yeah, I'm a bit of an animal activist. It's where my passion lies, with animals, all animals. And as you know, I publish a magazine called Canine Zone Magazine, which is the only magazine exclusively dedicated to dog owners. And next year, we're going to grow Canine Zone. It's been doing so well. Our Facebook wall, Canine Zone, is so interactive. We share stories on there. We look at the amazing animals up for adoption right now. We give you a laugh. There's a lot of funny videos out there. And we've got incredibly busy. And next year, you know, I'm going to also be launching a marketing company specializing in the pet care industry, because I think there's so much more that can be done and so much education that needs to get out there. So I hope that those of you that's been listening for the last year and a half have learned something, have sometimes smiled, sometimes cried. I think we've had a lot of very sad, you know, stories on this show. And as for me, I'm not going away. I'm going to be on standby. Ainsley Hay is going to be taking over from me. If she can't make it for any reason, I will be in studio. And I'm also going to come in as a guest, as one of her guests, every 2 months, just to let you know what I've been up to and what's been happening in the Canine Zone world. And so it's not goodbye at all. And also, if you want to follow my crazy antics, you can follow me on Canine Zone on Facebook. So I just want to thank you all for tuning in, for listening, for your messages, for your phone calls. It's really been so much fun, and I hope you give Ainsley as much support as you've given me. I think Animal Show on Cliff Central is so, so very important, because people need to know what's happening out there, and we need to care for our sentient beings. You know, it's such a cliche, people saying, be the voice for the voiceless, but it's true, because they can't ask for help. They can't say, please stop, you know, the pain, the abuse. They can't do that. We have to do it for them. And, you know, I've always been a crazy dog lady, but, you know, the last 5 years doing Canine Zone has just opened my eyes to actually what is going on out there. And there's a lot of sadness, a lot of abuse and torture of animals, but there's also a lot of good news. A lot of people are helping. The shelter managers that I've had in the studio over the last year and a half, these people, I always call them animal angels, because that is what they are. They have given up so much to help our sentient beings. And I bless them all. I really think it's just amazing what they do. And I think people worldwide are starting to go, hold on a second. We are so tied in with nature, with our animals, that if we don't take care of them and we don't take care of nature, what is going to be left for us and our children one day? Nothing. And I saw a post this morning on, I think it was on Instagram, from Katy Perry, and we just played her song Raw, where she was pleading with people to please wake up to climate change, to please make a difference, because we can't just go around with blinkers on and live our little lives and hope for the best, because it's going to come back and bite us in the ass one of these days. But changing tune a little bit here, I've got two amazing guests in studio today. One, Scotty Valadeo, who in my opinion is one of the best animal behaviorists in the country. I think she's been here before. She's a repeat guest. I had to get her in today to talk about, you know, what our pets have to go through now at the end of the year. And then we've got our VIP in the December issue. I've got actress Stevie French in studio with Samantha. And if you listen carefully, you would hear Samantha snorting into the microphone. Samantha's our VIP in the December issue. And she's the sweetest little thing. She's just been adorable.
Well, so thank you so much.
Thank you for coming
us.
In today. I
Absolutely.
Really appreciate it. Now, I'm going to start with you, Stevie. Samantha is a
Boston Terrier. That's right.
She's just
Best
adorable.
Breed in the world.
You know, it's so interesting when you have guests. I think a lot of people get this love for a breed.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult to...
No, I'm literally one of those people who has absolutely no boundaries with my dog. Like, I will, if people invite me over for dinner, I'll be like, oh, great, can I bring Samantha?
Can I bring Samantha?
And my husband will kick me under the table and go, like, you can't just ask people that. I say, why? Why can't I bring her? She's amazing. Have you met her?
Yeah, she's your fur child.
Oh, for sure.
There you go. And she's got a full name. She's Samantha Martin.
She's Samantha Martin. Well,
Miss Samantha Martin.
Like, how would you feel if you didn't have a surname?
Absolutely. It's quite funny. My son works with and tries to help and rescue reptiles, mm-hmm. and he'll get something in that was thrown away at a pet store or something, and he'll go, okay, its name is Chubbs, and I go, that's such an odd name. Why is that its name? Oh, he just knows.
it came to him in a moment.
Yes. Yeah, I think they know their names. So now you're in the next issue. You're our VIP.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Samantha. When did you get her?
So we've had her for coming up to a year now. We found her. It was actually last Christmas that we decided that, you know, we were finally ready to expand our family.
Yes.
And we were looking around, and like I'm now a part of every Boston Terrier group on Facebook. And basically, we drove up from Hermanus, which is where my family holidays, and we drove straight to Krugersdorp.
Yes.
And like we didn't even go home. She came and then. She was just so tiny.
She was little when you got her.
No, I mean she was literally the runt of the litter, and so she's been timid from the start.
Yes.
But yeah, she's just the perfect dog. I just love her so much, and she's so well balanced. I'm very lucky that, you know, my husband and I. Well, I have a very weird schedule. Is that, you know, it's some days it's all night, some days it's all day, and or some days I'm at home, you know. So it's really nice that there's a lot of company for her at home.
Yes.
And I think that being with her in like the formative years of when she was a puppy, I think that did a lot to quell any, you know, bad behavior, because I know that Bosties are kind of known for their chewing, and she is a chewer. Like she'll go to sleep chewing and she'll wake up chewing, but she has her toys. And actually, funny enough, last night was the first pair of slip-slops of mine in our house that fell victim to Samantha. But I take a little bit of the blame for it, because I was stepping outside, and so my feet, my shoes were wet and they were going to make a mess, and so I put them on the carpet where her bed is in our bedroom. And so technically,
thanks for the gift, Mom.
They were in her space.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So,
and flip-flops are so nice and chewy
so
anyway.
So squidgy, yes. So
I know. Well, it's great having Scotty as because I know that, you know, what Samantha's saying is so Stevie. Samantha didn't say anything.
Samantha's kind of quiet.
She's very quiet.
She's a girl of few words.
She's just being admired.
Yes. It's so true, isn't it, Scotty?
Oh,
that the formative, well, like children have formative years. Mm. It's the same with puppies, is
absolutely.
It not?
And this is where puppy school comes in so importantly, is they get to meet with so many other dogs, other people, and you know, you've done an incredible job because you take her everywhere with you, which can also be a problem, but we won't go there. But a lot of people think that puppy school just starts and ends with puppy school. It actually doesn't.
Yes.
You need to continue socializing that dog. So bring it onto the Cliff Central show. Go to Greenstones.
Yes.
Go to your
yes.
shopping centers
exactly.
and everything. So the socialization aspect is huge.
It is
so
huge.
Well done.
Thank you. Well, you know, I mean, I must must be honest, I do take her, I don't take her out as much now that she is bigger, because, you know, she is stronger and she's a real sniffer. And so she loves smelling out everything and giving everything a sniff. And so, like, we went to the Four Ways Farmers Market a couple of weekends ago, and we took her, and like, it's just a bit too much, you know. There's so much going on, and people are picnicking, and you know, you don't want it. And not everyone is as dog crazy as I am, and so I try and be very sensitive to that. So, but I mean, we walk 4 or 5 days a week off leash in Delta Park, or we go to Emerentia, and you know, that we've been doing that since she was a baby. So she's brilliant off leash, and I think, you know, one of the most important things that I could pass on to, you know, pet owners or any prospective pet owners is recall. You know, your dog needs to come to you when you call them. And I'm very lucky in that from a very young age, Samantha recognized her name and came when she was called. And so, you know, I have the ability to, I mean, I brought her on leash now just because this is an office and professional environment. Yes. But I mean, otherwise I would just, you know, I would just open the door and she would walk with me out the car. And it's not to say that she comes every time, because if she can see that I can see her, then she won't come when I'm calling her. And if she knows she's not doing anything naughty. But if she goes behind a bush and she can't see me, a moment I call her, she'll like come out and check what's going on.
It's very important. Very important. And Scotty, I like what you said about puppy school. You know, I've got my two dogs, they're not nearly 10 now. Mm. The one I took to puppy classes.
Right.
The other one I didn't. And I can see the difference.
Huge.
Yeah. Deezer gets on with all other animals. Yeah. She loves them. Lolo, not so much. Mm. What a difference that little bit of training takes.
Also the ages. You know, puppy school should be from about 8 weeks through to 16 weeks of age.
Yes.
Very often you can only get them in at about 10 weeks because they've got to have had their second set of vaccinations. Right. And we do cater for pups who are around the 4-5 month old age. And by that time, the fear periods have come in because you've got that first 16 weeks of a puppy's life whereby you can basically expose it to everything and anything.
Yes.
And it accepts it as part of the norm. And you see these little ones, I've got two little toy poms that are starting tomorrow, and it's, oh, I can't cope. It's right. Just they've just gone that little bit. So the earlier that people get their puppies into puppy school, the better. It's not the old days of, you know, it doesn't go to puppy school until it's 5-6 months old. By then it's past it.
Exactly.
I think that as well, the thing that I learned at puppy school wasn't so much the do you hear her? She's doing her little
giving
snort.
Us a snort.
So the thing that I learned at puppy school was how to teach her to do the things that I wanted her to do.
Absolutely.
It's not like, for me, her rolling over wasn't necessary. And plus, like, she has a funny back and spine in that she's not comfortable on her back. So rolling over for her, like, wasn't really an issue. Plus, she wasn't very good at puppy school. I'd say she got a solid C minus. She definitely passed, but she was not at the top of the class. But it's okay, because if it teaches you how to interact with your dog, how to teach your dog what you want them to do.
Right.
And that's the important thing. Like, if the only thing that's important to you is that your dog can sit and come to you when they're called, then you'll learn how to do that.
Absolutely.
And as you go on, you know, you learn how to
sit down, stand,
To shout, like if they've done something naughty, you know, to punish them in the correct way. I hate that word.
Yes.
But like teach them what not to do.
Yes,
you know?
The no in the right time and in the right voice tone.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, my Deezer didn't do very well at puppy school either. But all she wanted to do was play with the other puppies.
Yeah.
Which was, what's the point? That's the point.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Charmaine and I, because we both are behaviorists, take it to an extreme possibly, is that our first session with our clients at puppy school is they come without their dogs. They get a full behavior session of the what we call the house rules, what to do, what not to do, how to prevent jumping up, how to prevent toilet training and everything. Because once you've got your puppy there with you, you know, your eyes and your hands are all over the place.
Yes.
So you've got to be
it's difficult.
Be careful.
I mean, it's difficult. It's tough. And you know, you want, and as well, the dogs are so receptive and they are so perceptive. And so, you know, when you're standing there and you're getting stressed and freaking out because your dog
isn't
doing
it, from you,
they're picking it up from
you. Tension.
And so because Samantha was such a small puppy, like, you know, she would get very scared of big, well, if bigger dogs came into her space, meaning absolutely no harm, you know, she would kind of snap if she got a little bit nervous, and then they would snap, and then that's, you know, a very bad situation. But so I learned for my smaller dog is if I step away from the situation, like I can't be near her when she's interacting with other dogs because it gives her like a false sense of security, me being there, and she thinks like, oh, me and my mom, like we can take on anything. But you know, she really needs to interact with dogs on in her own space, and if she can, for me, if she can run away and I can just give her that space enough to like interact independently, then I find that she does much better with bigger dogs.
Because Scotty, that's true, isn't it? That they
absolutely
do pick up a lot of fear, tension. Oh, here comes a bull, tense up. And we are responsible for our dogs' behavior, are we not? It's how we raise them, how we teach them.
It's just unfortunately people don't always know enough, and a lot of what is out there are the old-fashioned principles of training. You know, so it's an education thing. That's you were talking about education earlier. I mean, how passionate you are about it, and you know, it's my thing as well, very, very much.
Yes,
That's why Charmaine and I started the Friends of the Dog website. It's a website for all dog owners, and it's got over 800 articles. So if anybody wants to know anything, it is there for them.
Yes, yes.
And that's the basis of it, is education. And what I love is when I go to my behavior consults with my clients, and it is my passion, you know, and I'm talking about this, and they'll say, oh, I didn't know that. And you get a little bit more motivated to talk that little bit more, because people really want to know about their animals.
They do.
Yeah,
they do. I think I've seen that. I was saying earlier how things have changed is more and more people, you know, before, even when I was a kid and growing up, the dog was in the back garden and that
was
it.
Yeah.
Whereas today they are literally, we are pet parents. These are our fur kids. And we want the best for them. And that includes, you know, nutrition and, you know, all that kind of thing, veterinary care. But behavior is so important.
Absolutely. And, you know, because they are so important to us, and especially in the world we're living in nowadays, where our pets become even more important as we become a bit more secluded in our homes with violence and things like that, people do tend to treat their dogs too much like their children. And, you know, there's a fine line. Love your dog, yes, but you've got to have the boundaries. You've got to have the base rules.
Yes.
It's like kids. I mean, if you let your kids run wild and jump all over the chairs and climb up and down the curtains, nobody's really going to enjoy your children.
No.
Whereas, like,
and you don't enjoy your children either.
Absolutely.
And I find that, like, you know, when people don't understand their pets, they start to lose that affection for them. Not to say they lose the love, because you never lose the love, but, like, you know, the in love moment becomes very difficult. And I think that it's in you find such a pride when you can interact with your dog in a calm and secure way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in an environment. Yeah,
absolutely.
I know, it really, you are very proud. Before these that I've had, I used to have Rotties, and boy, did we train. We did a lot of training with the Meridian Rottweiler League, and there was always a sense of pride because people would say, what amazing dogs, how incredible. And, you know, it, as you say, it just makes life easier. It really does. You secure in the knowledge that your dog's not going to go and embarrass you or do something that's dangerous for it.
And it's not, it's not to say that, you know, if you're going to adopt a dog, you need to now go and join the Dog Breed Society and learn how to do tricks and do shows. I mean, when someone says, oh, can I feed your dog? And I give them a treat and I say, sure, just say, Samantha, lie down. And then they go like, and she's just going to lie down? And then she just lie down. And that's a proud moment for me, is that when Samantha wants a treat, she knows that she needs to lie down. And if she jumps up to try and take it, she's not going to get it, you know?
Yes.
And so you want it, like, even that for me is a proud moment.
It's a proud moment.
Yeah.
And I think also it depends what you want.
Absolutely.
Yes, sure. If you want to get into agility or tracking or show your dog, I mean, that's very different. It's a lot of fun. And I don't think there's a better way to bond with your dog. But it depends what you want and what you need your dog to do for you and its behavior in the home.
Absolutely.
And I think the more people who realize that, the better.
Sure.
And Stevie, now we were, you know, when we asked asked you the questions for Canine Zone magazine, we said to you,
I don't even remember what those questions were now.
We
don't
said to you, you kind of have answered the question already, that you're so busy and traveling and whatever, mm-hmm. but you've got an infrastructure, you've got people to look after her when you're not around.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's so funny because my husband, a dog is a huge commitment.
Yes,
and I don't,
is.
I've had dogs when in my childhood that, you know, I didn't, and I don't think that I was really taught how to properly care for them, but then I don't think my parents really knew. And
yes.
so we're all becoming much more educated, which is amazing and brilliant for, you know, our canine friends. But it is a big commitment, and you can't just leave at the drop of a hat.
No.
And you do need to have a support system. And so, you know, my Samantha will go and either stay with my my in-laws at
yes.
their house, who then they love her, or, you know, my helper will stay over at our house if we're away for the weekend or the evening or something like that, and she will stay and watch Samantha. But also we do bring her along, so we've been traveling with her since she was younger as a puppy, and she does really well in the car. She can do 4 hours without a stop.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
she just goes in the back seat and has
and
a
again
nap.
That was training, you taught her that.
Exactly, yeah. But I mean, I think that your dog is smart, and your dog, you know, I think we don't give our pets enough credit, is that, you know, you don't need to sit there and like teach her to drive in the car. Like they'll adapt.
No,
and
they
they'll adapt to your lifestyle, you know.
They do. Before we go any further, just if you've got any questions, well, certainly for Scotty about dog behavior, please get hold of us. Our number again is 0861 555 189. Of course, we're on Twitter at cliffcentral.com, and our WeChat ID is Cliff Central. You can also send us a message on WeChat. So that's very simple. You just tap connect and then you do MSG2Show. We'd love to hear from you and any stories you have about your dogs. Now, talking about that, Stevie, we were due to have Christine Koch from the SPCA in today, to talk about pet abandonment at this time of the year. Unfortunately, they've got a bit of a crisis. Apparently, we'll read about it in the news today, so I'm keen to see what that is. But, you know, this is the time of year. To me, it's one of the saddest times. Yes, I know it's the festive season and everything, but our animals really suffer this time of the year.
Absolutely.
Because people, I mean, I can't believe how many people actually go, we're going on holiday, let's hand in the dogs to the SPCA, we'll get new dogs
what?
When we get back. It happens.
Oh my goodness.
It happens. They go away. I know myself and Elka de Brain from Nordic Rescue last year, we had people that had gone away and had left 3 Boerboels, 1 on heat, crying in that back garden. People just go away. They think somebody's going to come and take care of the pets. Sometimes it's a young person who couldn't be bothered. And it's such a terrible time of the year. And that's why I asked you that question. People really need to ensure that their pets are safe in a kennel. If
absolutely.
They can.
And if they've got something like we were talking about later, fear of fireworks.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you see it every year and it breaks my heart of a dog that has actually hung itself.
Mm. Or impaled itself.
Trying to get away from the noise. And even in storm phobic dogs as well. So people really do need
yes.
to take recognizance of this and do something
and
about
do so.
It.
And it's very simple. I mean, I don't go on holiday because I can't bear to leave my animals.
So anybody who needs animal watching, animal sitting over the holiday, Sharon is your girl.
Yeah, my number is. No, but it's true. I think that, you know, it's very easy to book them into a kennel. It's very easy to get a good house-sitting service. I know House Sitters for Africa, for example, and these house sitters are all over the country.
Yeah.
So it is easy to get. Or a family member that's trustworthy. That is the bottom line. Trustworthy.
Absolutely.
Not someone that's going to come and throw food down and leave. And I've heard of people, they'll put a bag of dog food out and
yes.
a dripping tap. And off they go for two weeks. Not on.
No, not
cool.
at all.
Then you shouldn't have an animal.
And it's, it's so heartbreaking. And, you know, it's almost like, what do? You just have to try and, like, help these people see
yes.
the error of their ways. But it really is so easy to
it
take care
easy.
Of and support your pet these days.
It's
there are so
easy.
Many services that can help you. People coming from like 50 Rand a day, people can come and look after your pet. And I think that, you know, it's a response. it's a responsibility that you take on. If you decide that you want to go on holiday, then you need to account for kennel budget, for like kennel stay.
And if you can't afford a kennel, then you shouldn't be able to afford a holiday. Quite frankly.
You know, I think a lot of what happens, or what I see as well in on my side of it, is emotional purchasing. Okay, yes. They go past a pet shop or somewhere like that, and oh, isn't it cute? Not realizing that, well, this lovely little bundle of fluff can be with you for 14, 15 years quite easily.
Yes.
And can we afford a pet? You know, at the risk of actually having less animals in the SPCAs and places like that, I wish people would put more thought into it. You know, people will put more thought into going out to buy a car than they will to
get
a
cell phone.
Absolutely.
Right.
An animal which is going to be living with you, and it's going to be with your children.
And I think that, you know, further to our conversation about there being more education out there, information is so accessible. Before we even decided on the Boston Terrier breed, we did breed like surveys, you know, which breed is right for you. Mm. We read up about all these different breeds that were available, you know, and, you know, we put a lot of thought and effort into it. Like we said, okay, we want a dog that doesn't shed a lot, and that immediately cuts out like a huge range of breeds, you know? And then we were actually looking at a Basset. There was a Basset puppy that we saw in Hermanus, and we were like, oh my goodness, is this our dog? Have the stars aligned? But I went and did some research about the breed, and they can grow to be 50 kilograms and upwards. And so, and for me, I don't want a big dog, you know, it's just... That's just what I want.
It's personal choice.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody should, you know, be persecuted for their choice of breeds, because you know what you are and are not capable of doing. If you are not capable of a 5 kilometer walk every day with your dog,
then don't get a border collie.
Don't get a border collie.
Absolutely. And realize that a very cute Labrador and Retriever, which is used for advertising so often, is a working dog. You need to walk it.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think that, but at the same time, I think that, so I think it's very important for your first dog to start with a breed that you can handle and learn about the obedience, you know, training, and learn about the things that you need and think and how much things are going to cost. Samantha broke her little thumb toe, and it cost 2,000 rand to get it stitched up and, you know, redone and get it sterilized. And so, I mean, it's not cheap. Or, you know, if, and then do you want to get medical insurance for your pet, which is 200 rand a month? You know, there are a lot of things to think about, as there are with welcoming any life form into your home.
Absolutely.
And, but at the same time, you know, I mean, I only realized how beautiful the parks of Johannesburg were when I got a dog.
Because you took Samantha.
I'd never been to Delta Park in my life before I got Samantha.
And dogs do. I mean, give so much back.
Absolutely.
They can help your health. There's scientific research that says they lower your blood pressure. They help with depression. They give so much back. But as you say, do your research. It's freely available. I mean, Scotty, your website is filled with information.
And, you know, one of the things we've got under there, under the free downloads, is two books by Dr. Ian Dunbar, who was absolute hero. I actually brought him out to South Africa a couple of years ago under the auspices of the ABC. I figured if I couldn't get there, he better come here.
Yes. You know?
And he has got two free books there that people can download on before and after getting your puppy. So if people just know where to look, the information is there for them.
Yes.
And it makes such a difference.
Available.
It really does.
Well, that's what we try to do in our magazine, is get a lot of information out there, a lot of education. Yes, we talk about the different breeds that are available, but we also talk about the rescues, because so many people have said there's no better breed than one of these little, who knows what they are, dogs that sit in these shelters for years and years and years. And they actually make the best pets. They are wonderful pets.
Oh, they, and you know what flabbergasts me, and it's flabbergasting me even more at the moment. I'm working with Schnauzer Friends at the moment.
With Deborah Blaine.
Yes, thank you very
she's
much.
She's incredible.
I'm having a ball.
She is. Deborah is amazing.
Absolutely fantastic.
She is such a live wire. She really is.
And, you know, where the dogs I'm dealing with at the moment, I mean, what these owners have done where these dogs are concerned is beyond belief. They have put their lives on the line to help them. These were what Deborah categorizes as category threes.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in really bad shape. You know, they didn't accept humans. They were in fear like I have never, ever seen in my life. And watching them and working with them, and, you know, we are doing a variety of different things with them. And to watch these dogs starting to open up and to trust and to love again is something beyond
belief. Because you wrote us an article in Canine Zone about one of those dogs.
Yes, that was actually before I started working with them. Yes, that was Pepper.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, I won't say it's not hard, but it's not easy, but it's also not hard. All you actually need are the tools of how do you approach a fearful dog? What do you do? You know, you don't sort of walk up to it straight in a straight line because that signals aggression in the dog world. You don't lean over it, and things that we people do naturally and normally. Yes. So there are, I mean, there's articles on that in Canine Zone as well.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Sorry, little Samantha is trying to get on my lap. I don't know if I can. Can I lift her
yes,
up?
Yes, of course you can. She was sitting on my lap for the first half mind. Of the conversation.
She's changed her mind. But Stevie, do you, do you think that she's, I mean, from what you've said, mm-hmm. obviously she's changed your life for the better.
Oh my
she?
Goodness. Like the love that she has brought and purpose, you know, you on those days that you feel like down and that, you know, you don't want, just don't want to get out of bed. Well, honey, if you don't get out of bed, the dog's going to pee in the bedroom.
And is she destined to be an only child?
You know,
or are you looking at including somebody else in the family?
So I've spoken to my trainer and our trainer, I guess you'd say. And you know, she said to me, if you were an only child getting all the attention, all the love, all the laps,
would you want
somebody else to enter your life? And also they say that, like, I've heard that before a year, it's, you know, if your dog's been an only dog, like, you want to give them at least a year. Also, you know, you're bringing in a dog that
Samantha
doesn't
adorable.
Know.
I know. She's she's attacking us, yeah.
Our engineer is getting a lot of love.
Yes.
High fives.
No. But, you know, and I do, I mean, I definitely there will be more dogs in our future, and I definitely the next dog will be adopted. But right now for us, one dog is enough.
Yes.
And I think, oh,
he just got a growl.
But, you know, I think.
But that's sensible, Stevie. I wish more people would think that way too.
And, you know, it does. I mean, it breaks my heart because I do like all of these Facebook pages, the Kitty and Puppy Haven and all the, you know, all of those. And I see all these dogs, and those were the dogs that originally we wanted to adopt. But I mean, my husband and I, we haven't had a dog living in our household for, you know, the last 7 or 8 years. And we thought that we just wanted to start off with a breed that we knew we could handle.
Yes.
Because, you know, and we were able to choose a dog with a temperament that we really liked. Like, Samantha is so chilled. She is all about naps and like...
Sorry, she's...
Samantha, no.
It is so... She wants
and
to that, play
but the,
now.
And that's also, but that's also the important part, is that I get, like, throughout this conversation, I've been saying, no, Samantha. Shame, but now she thinks she's in trouble and she's actually being very good.
Shame. No. And, you know, it's so great that people like yourself will, you know, that's in the public eye, that's a celebrity, will go out there and talk to people and sort of be leaders in this whole adopt, don't shop movement.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've had so many. I know our next issue, we've got Angie Woodley. We've had Jenna Clifford, who's incredible. She helps fur free. She does, I think, her partner works with a rhino, anti-rhino poaching. Gareth Cliff himself, I mean, we've had him in Canine Zone with his little Carl. In fact, I really still wanted to get Gareth in as a guest on my show one
let's
day.
Let's just call him in.
Gareth.
Gareth. Come
here. So I think that's great. And I mean, you see people like Ricky Gervais talking internationally, and Katy Perry and Taylor Swift and all these people that are actually saying, hold on a second, let's actually do something good for our dogs and cats and pets.
And, but, you know, at the same time, like, I'm so pro adoption, I'm so pro people bringing animals into their lives, but at the same time, I want them to take like a day at least to think about it, because there's not, I mean, I've wanted Samantha for the last 5 years, but we've been living in apartments, we've been traveling overseas, and it just hasn't been, it hasn't been appropriate. And so it's only when we moved into our new house, which was at the beginning of this year, that we finally said, we have a garden, we're in a place in our lives where we can do this.
Right.
And so just because you have love to give, and just because you want a dog, does not mean you should get a dog.
No, and as you were saying earlier, it can be costly.
Yeah.
Vet bills are not cheap. Sorry, we are having such a player on the side. I'm all, you know, normal voiced over the, over the air,
so,
but on the
Samantha,
side, we're having a
game. What's happening is Samantha has her bunny. It is a fluffy bunny toy, and I think I bought it for her when she was like, she hadn't been with us for more than a week. And Samantha's a Boston Terrier, obviously, Terrier.
Yeah, Terrier.
And so she like loves to do the neck break thing. Yeah. So she'll grab Bunny by the head and she'll do this like neck flick, and Bunny dies like a
And
like
if
a,
I let go, she brings it back to me.
Yes, because it's part of the game, and she loves tug of war, and she loves chasing her like balls. But then we bought her cat balls because dog balls are too big.
Are too big. Now, you know, this show, this is one of my complaints about this show, is it goes so fast.
Yeah.
Scotty, I want to focus on you for a second. This is my last show for, you know, when I come back as guests or whatever. But fireworks. Now, got a problem with my dog. She's terrified. She's getting older now. She's got a bit of a slow heart. She has got hypothyroidism, and I battle every single year.
You have my sympathies.
Well, I could take an entire show, and I have in the past. If anyone wants to hear, go back on the podcast, and you'll hear my rants and tirades about fireworks. I hate them. I loathe them. I hate what they do. But let's assume now, Scotty, you've actually kindly brought me a sample of a natural product that could help my girl.
Revolutionary.
Let's just quickly, in the few minutes we've got left, people whose dogs are terrified of these horrific fireworks, what can people do?
There's actually a lot that you can do. First of all, you've got to recognize that your dog's got a problem. And very often, you know, I come across a lot of people saying, my dog's not scared of fireworks. He tries to jump up and catch them and runs around the garden and doing all these sort of things.
That's anxiety.
That's actually fear. That's gone into the fooling around mode. So the trouble with things like fireworks and storm phobia is it never gets better unless you do something about it. So if you can get in there right at the beginning and get stuck in, you can actually help your dog. The easiest and the simplest thing to do is to desensitize your dog to noises, and very often they will have fear of other noises, and they will also be storm phobic as well. They seem to sort of work in a little bit of a pattern. So what people can do is desensitize their dog to different noises. Now, if you go onto any YouTube, you are going to get noises of fireworks, this, that, and the other. The only trouble is with desensitizing only with a noise is you're not bringing the smell in, which is a sulfur-based smell.
Oh, yes.
Okay, but you can work with that as well. And you're also not bringing in the flashes, but it's incredibly easy to do it. But you have to start a couple of weeks before, or preferably in winter or out of the fireworks season before November and before New Year, and actually work with your dog. And what you do is you would have treats or a toy, like I would take her bunny for an example, okay, and I will have the noises of the fireworks on at a very, very low volume, and I'll actually have it a bit of a distance away from me. I will see what the dog's reaction to that is. If it's very slight or it's not at all, I'll start playing with Bunny, and Samantha and I will have a good game, and we'll pull it back and forward and back and forward. And as she gets more comfortable with that, then what I will do is I will up the volume very, very slightly. Okay, and then we have a game. And the association starts to become is that when these noisy things are on, really good things happen.
It's a good thing, yes. Okay.
A lot of people will only use food, and food does work. However, if you're looking at what we're coming up to now, which is New Year, where you can have fireworks going on for 45 minutes to maybe 2 to 3 hours.
Yes, then it's difficult.
I had a border collie that had firework phobia after he had an incident, and I spent New Year every year for the last 3 years playing with a toy. Okay, but you know what? My dog was not stressing, and we got it to a manageable thing that I could sort of sit on the couch and throw it.
That's
and he would go and get it.
Because I've used food. But you're right. You can't keep giving titbits for the next 45 hours.
They also get very, very bored. So by doing that, that is sort of doing a bit of desensitizing and counter-conditioning at the same time. So the message is noises are on, a storm is around, fireworks are on, and yay, we can play. Mum and I can have an absolute ball. Other things that are so easy to do is give them a hidey hole, give them a bolt hole. That is absolutely crucial. The majority of dogs will go and hide. So have an area where they can go behind something or underneath something. The other thing that you do not do is you don't pander to the behavior.
Yes.
So it's not, oh my God, my baby, you let mummy pick you up and mummy will make it better, because all you're actually doing is making the behavior worse. I'm one of those.
What about like just stroking? Like if we sit on the couch together and
It depends. It depends on the dog. I'm one of the believers that comforting your dog during a storm is fine, or during fireworks is fine, as long as it is done the right way. So if I had my dog sitting next to me and the fireworks and everything going on, my hand would accidentally be doing ear touches on the ears, or I would be stroking between. Actually, it's two things people can do to help their dog calm down, and they can also do it before, is using a little bit of T-touch and acupressure. Now, the ear and T-touch, and we've talked about T-touch, before, contains over 200 acupressure points, and the tip of an ear can actually stop a dog, human being, cat, or anybody from going into shock. So if you just sit and you do these long strokes from the base of the ear up to the ear and over the tip, you're going to help to calm the dog. Another thing you can do, and I think this was actually also in the magazine, is if you stroke sort of from the middle of the muzzle, between the eyes, going up the middle of the head, and you can see me stroking myself here. That it's got two or three acupressure points which help a dog to calm down. The other one is on the sides of the eyes, just sort of where we've got our temples, stroking there. And then what all dogs love is stroke behind their ears. But sort of, you know, if you're if you've got a small head like Samantha's got, you could put a thumb and a forefinger on the other side and go up and down. All of those little things will actually help the dog
down.
To cope. And you can do it beforehand as well. Other things you can do, and it's such a simple thing and people don't think about it, close the curtains. Okay, it stops the flashes. Okay, and also it muffles the sound a little bit as well.
Right.
Play music.
Yes.
Okay, and if your dog is a little bit stressed, one of my favorite things to do, and I have got the most terrible voice in the world, but I love singing, is I put the radio up full blast.
And sing and dance
and
with them. Yes, that's what I do.
And the dogs, they actually love it. The other thing, looking at the sample I brought you there, there is different medication that helps with dogs. I've been using this product now for the last 2.5 years.
This is Avalon Pure.
Avalon Pure for dogs. They are absolutely and utterly revolutionary. They really are. I was working with one of the schnauzers yesterday morning who has got noise phobia, funny enough, and had put some spray on her, and we were working with this. And as we're going out the door, firework went off. You know, people are getting ready for it. You know, these cracker things, kids are on holiday. And she sort of stopped, looked at her mum, looked at me, ran back 3 steps, came forward and said, oh, it's okay, I can cope with this.
Okay.
So
I thought you sprayed it in their mouth, but you don't. You spray it on the head.
Yes. The ideal way to do it, it's a bit like the Bach flower remedies. You spray it on your hands and then you will stroke it over the dog's face and on the ear area. Apart from that, you can put your hand over the eyes and spray above the head. The spray that comes out of it is incredibly fine, so it sort of drifts down, and all of this is absorbed by the olfactory system.
Okay,
so it has an amazing impact, because all of that goes through to the hippocampus and all these funny things that are in the brain. Affects the limbic section, which governs emotions. And it's all our innate behaviors and everything. And immediately you will get a dog calming down.
Well, I'm just wondering if this would work on me, because I get so hit up on New Year's Eve. Maybe I should spray it on myself as well.
I have lots of clients that do it. And you know, talking about that, the more stressed you are, the more stressed your dog is going to be.
I know. It's terrible, Scotty. I try to... you know, keep myself calm. I just can't believe that, yeah, that human beings have no thought. And it's not just our, it's not just cats and dogs. It's the birds. It's the wildlife.
It's the horses.
It's the elderly.
You know, you can't put the horse behind the couch.
Exactly. Yeah. What do you do with the horse?
Yeah. And I
can't believe that we still do this, you know, to have fun while others suffer. You know, it's just not cool. So I'm definitely going to use this, Scotty.
You know, it is absolutely fantastic. But there again, I, as much as I love it, there are other things to do. You know, to me, this is part of a toolbox. So
yes,
definitely bring in the behavior modification, bring in a bit of tea touch or the ones we were talking about now, and the spray. So the more that you bring in, the more you're going to help your dog. Those do all come with behavior modifications. So they've got it for barking, separation anxiety.
Oh, really?
Oh, they've got a full range.
Now, we're going to, from the, I think it's the February issue of Canine Zone, we're actually going to have a little ad for this.
I've already wrote it.
Yes, because I'm going to try it, because if this works, I tell you what, it's a miracle, because for the last 9.5 years, I already dread New Year's Eve and the stupid Guy Fox thing that they do every year and whatever. So,
you know, Sharon, the thing is, it will help. You've had 9 years of it, so it's unfortunately it's not a magic wand.
No,
but it
sure
will reduce the dog's fear dramatically.
Yes,
she put her on it right now.
No, I'm definitely going to do that.
It's amazing stuff.
And I think, well, the problem is, if you're not at home with your dog because you're out, can you use it before?
Yes, you can. But look, if you've got a dog that is storm phobic or fireworks, don't leave it alone, please.
I know.
I mean, imagine how you would feel if all these noises were going around. You can't get away. You're in absolute and utter panic mode. Mm. Stay with your dogs or get somebody with you. You can use it, but if you are going out, use it at least for a week before. If your dog is really bad, I would actually start using it right now, twice a day, every day.
I'm going to do that because my girl's pretty bad.
And also put it on any areas where the dog is. So if it's got a bed, it lies in around the area and everything, and it will help. I'm blown away by these. In 2.5 years since I've been using them, I've not had one of my clients' dogs on Climicom.
Goodness me.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Now, Scotty, before we run out of time, we were talking about your website and where we can get this product. How can people get hold
right,
of you?
Right. Well, I've got various websites, as you know. The one for the education is www.friendsofthedog.co.za.
Right.
And there you can download the books, the articles, whatever you want. And that is www.avalonpureforDogs.co.za.
Okay, perfect. Because, you know, anything we can do to help them. And this is natural. It's got no side effects.
100%
it's,
herbal.
You're right.
100% organic. It's not expensive either. And for people who are out of Joburg, they use a courier service.
Exactly.
So it's a piece of cake.
It's easy.
Very easy. Yeah.
And Stevie, well, we're all going to look forward to seeing your December issue of Canine Zone. That'll be on shelves.
It's Samantha's December issue.
It's Samantha's December issue.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. So if you want to see little Samantha and her gorgeous mummy, go and have a look. We'll be on shelves at C&A Spa, Woolworths, Pick and Pay, selected pet stores, as well as Macro and Builders Warehouse from the 15th of December. And you can read more about Samantha and see what she looks like. And gosh, we're already running out of time. So this, as I said, is my last show as a sole host. I will be back in time as a guest of Ainsley. Please get out there, pick up your copy of Canine Zone. I promise you, you'll learn so much about your furry friends. And just please, guys, my last message, please, whatever you do over this festive season, have fun, absolutely. But just bear in mind that your fun mustn't endanger anybody else or anything else, whether that's a fellow human being, if you're drinking and driving, or if it's animals, when you're setting off fireworks or going off on holiday, or whether it's, you know, fishing and leaving your fishing lines in the rivers or dams where ducks can get caught up into it. Have your fun by all means, but just always have that little bit of responsibility and respect for others, for nature, and for our animals. I think that is the bottom line here, because I think if we all just respect each other and our sentient beings in nature, we can really make this world a much, much better place. I really believe that. I just want to send a quick shout out. You know, I've had a lot of people listening to the show, but and this year, my family, my Ian, Aidan, and Devon, they have been my biggest cheerleaders. They've listened to every single show, especially my husband, Ian. And I just want to thank them. Say hi, Ian. They've been amazing. You know, and every time I get back from doing the show, they go, oh, that was fantastic. So my biggest cheerleaders, and sorry to sound corny, but totally the wind beneath my wings this year, I tell you what. And I just want to wish you all a wonderful, safe, happy festive season and a very prosperous and happy new year. I hope that all your dreams come true, and I hope you have lots and lots to be grateful for every single day. Until I'm back on air next time, I'll either see you on Canine Zone on Facebook, on the Facebook, or I will probably be back in studio before too long to say hi again. But thanks for listening, and give all your pets a big hug from me. Bye for now.
Animal Central on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.